everyone. Welcome to Taz Talk, the show where we talk about the Adventure Zone podcast. Today we're talking about episode 13.
I think so.
That sounds of right. Amnesty. Okay. It's the beginning of a new chapter in the story. I guess we have a new monster. It feels unclear to me. I mean, obviously there will be a new monster, but I'm not sure it's been introduced yet.
I don't know if it's just one monster or if it's like three.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Feels a little different than last time.
Yeah.
Or previous times.
I think as we've been going along, we've mentioned how many mysteries and how many loose ends there are after each, like, chapter. I'm going to call them chapters. I know Griffin said he didn't know what to call them. I'm going to call them chapters.
Yeah, I think chapter works.
We don't quite ever get to a point where we get to a new area and then we're able to answer, like, a question that we had. We still kind of have, like, a whole lot of questions.
I think you're right. They're just stacking up.
They are. And I look forward to having resolution, but it definitely is a little confusing. But I don't think it's a detriment. I just think it's disorienting.
But
the characters are just as disoriented as we are. But it's just, you know, we have to have the podcast that responds to their podcast. And my initial feeling is that I'm confused about at least 10 different things. So,
well, here's a new question I have. It's about Duck's premonition, the vision he had at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. On top of snow people and mean high school children, we also maybe have cosmic horror going on, potentially.
So his vision was about, like, a meteor.
Yes.
Is he going to get hit by a meteor?
Maybe.
Or is it more like some reference to the kind of culminating science fiction elements of this story?
Maybe. So I had two thoughts on this. One is that we keep referring to Sylvain as a different planet. So maybe the thing that ties all of this together is that Sylvain is gonna be in trouble, or that Earth is gonna be in trouble.
Oh, interesting.
Because there really is something, you know, that's going to crash land or something. My other thought was maybe, you know, okay, so this may be a stretch, but in, like, cartoons or maybe video games called Pokemon, there's a movie.
You fucking going to talk about the Clefairies?
No.
Coming to... Oh.
I mean, we could if we wanted to.
I was going to.
Okay. I want to hear your thing first.
No, you started.
All right. I was just going to say Comet Punch is a thing. So I thought Duck was just going to get beaned real good. So, I mean...
Well, I was thinking, you remember how in Pokemon lore, the Clefairies came to Earth from the moon on riding a meteor?
Yep.
So maybe there's some aliens on this meteor that's coming toward Earth, and maybe they're dangerous aliens.
Maybe. So, and see, that's the thing. Like, we've talked about this before, but, like, this whole story feels a lot more fantasy than it does sci-fi, even though we keep using words that are, like, sci-fi coded. So maybe this is the thing that's going to tie it into the whole sci-fi aspect. Speaking of which, can I just jump to the end?
You fucking do it.
Okay, so the person on the snowmobile, at first I thought it might have been a hornet, but you think maybe it's the government agent because Griffin said hard move.
Yeah.
The boys rolled super bad. Well, maybe not super bad.
Yeah.
But they just, like, their hard moves are going to come up. So maybe...
Well, yeah, I feel like they're, like, they're, like, stacking up.
Yeah.
I don't know how Griffin is planning on keeping track of all of these, honestly.
I know. Maybe he just has different hash marks.
I mean, I trust him, but it's also, like, this is wild, and it seems like these are things that could potentially affect the story a lot, which is, like, really cool to think about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the agent man, I don't remember his name.
Stern? Agent Stern.
Stern. Agent Stern. He's been just kind of sleeping ever since the first incident. He hasn't really had a chance to do much of anything. So I thought it was interesting and kind of fun that they included him at the beginning of this chapter because he was reading The Lamplighter. But at the same time, I was kind of wondering, like, what has The Lamplighter been up to? Like, what's his face? Newton? Nope.
Kirby.
I don't know any names.
Alcarius.
What has Kirby been doing? Like, I was looking forward to Ned kind of establishing some kind of partnership, like, more of a partnership with Kirby, because, like, there's so much potential for fun there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they just haven't really had a chance to do much with it just yet. I know it's still early. It's only, like, episode 13, but, like...
Yeah, I feel like our expectations are high because I've been re-listening to the Balance arc. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't... Like, there are a lot of beloved NPCs, but there's also a lot of time when they are not interacting with them at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of, like, I feel the same way that you do. Like, I want them to interact with people more, but, like, it's... I don't think... I think in the end, it will not have taken much to build up the lore of these characters.
Yeah. When you think about it, at this point in the Balance arc, what were they doing? They were probably on the train. Or no, not even. Maybe on the moon. Like, maybe still the Trials of Initiation. I don't know. I could be misremembering
that. They might have just been starting off on Rockport and... All, like, Travis keeps trying to get Killian to come back, and Griffin keeps saying no. So, like, that's kind of, you know, we've already, I think, had more of an NPC presence in this arc than we had in Balance at this point.
Yeah, we've definitely been thrown a lot more information at this point. Like, if you stack the hours against the hours, at this point in Balance, we didn't have nearly as much lore or mysteries. So, this is different. This is what it feels like to be commenting on and following on, like, a well-established podcast, which is exciting, I think.
So, are you suggesting that Stern might be the snowmobile person?
I think so, because, I mean, I can't think of another character that would be a hard move that would be as significant as Stern. Like, it could just be a whole new character.
That's true.
But I think Stern is the obvious choice, and I think if it's anybody else other than Stern, I would be hard-pressed to be as impressed, you know? Like,
Stern seems so bumbling, though.
He does.
Which is part of what I like about him. Like, I thought it was so... I really like the idea that he was just, like, going through the lamplighter looking for clues, but he was correcting typos as he went. Like, he couldn't help it. Like, there's something weirdly endearing about that.
Oh, definitely.
And I want him and Kirby to become unlikely friends or something.
I think that it's, like, a character that is bumbling on the outside and that is bumbling 90% of the time, but then actually knows how to do his job. Just, it's not a facade, but that's just how he is. But that he also,
possible.
Yeah, that he also has a side that knows how to do his job. Like, that to me is a much more, like, well-rounded, in-depth kind of a character that I would love to see.
Can I confess something to you?
Always.
Speaking of people who are bumbling but know how to do their job.
Yes.
I watched Paul Blart Mall Cop 1 and 2 with Ryan the other night so that we could listen to the McElroys
podcast.
that they do with those New Zealand guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a wild couple days. I'll tell you.
That sounds fun. Was it worth it?
Yeah, it's weird because it's like the movies aren't good and I wasn't expecting them to be good.
Yeah.
And it's like, I had fun. Like, I laughed a lot watching them just because I was like half asleep and they were weirdly hilarious. Because it's like, you know, bad movies are fun.
Yeah,
just like this podcast, so it happens yearly and I was able to binge the first two episodes and then like I'm kind of saving the third one. But
and now
it has such...
Oh, go ahead.
Well, it has a really weird tone because it's, like, it's so horrible and pointless, and that's what makes it kind of hilarious and fascinating. And I feel like kind of this, like, wanker for saying that, but, like, it feels like it almost has this manufactured feeling of, like, when you have to do something that's not fun, but you're doing it with people you like, and, like, the shared misery makes it fun despite itself.
Yeah.
It's really weird, like... so that's my hot take on Death Blart, which they abbreviate it to, and it's very funny when they do that.
I'm just overjoyed that you're partaking on non-Adventure Zone McElroy product, and even beyond that, it's McElroy product that I haven't even dabbled into.
Yeah, dude, I'm on another level. No, the other thing that I do is I get really stoned and I watch monster episodes of Monster Factory.
Oh, that's fun. And, yeah.
Well, yeah, like I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Watching that fucking show while like super baked. That's fun. I want to jump back to the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
When they're talking about like, what'd you guys do over the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
And like Clint's description of how Ned feels about the holidays made me so sad.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It was so depressing. And I'm just like, they all seem like fucking lonely. They're like these three deeply lonely people. And I'm just like, please, Griffin, give them some like heartwarming holiday memory here or else I'm going to lose it. And it like, it makes me want that found family payoff like really, really bad because yeah, they just all seem like they're kind of here and they don't have much else.
Yeah. I'm sure that we're going to get these moments and that, you know, they're coming. Because we're still really early in the whole series. It still just kind of feels like they're co-workers instead of like a found family unit.
Fucking think about how long it felt that way for Trace Horny Boys,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
I like, we talked about this before, but like, I just kind of feel like it didn't ever seem like they liked each other that much.
Nope.
To be perfectly honest.
Yep.
And yeah, we've been over this, so I won't like go back into detail.
If you want to hear this, you have to listen to, I don't know, probably our episodes from like December or January.
Probably
or something.
Like, yeah, live show stuff. I don't remember.
Maybe.
One thing that I want to nitpick, mm-hmm, is that Travis said that Aubrey was celebrating the solstice, mm-hmm, which was funny and in character. But then Griffin said that it was the 21st, I think.
Oh, I don't recall a date.
He said it was a few days before Christmas.
Ah, okay.
I don't remember if he said the 21st exactly, but if it's the 21st or the 22nd, it is probably the solstice. Like,
actually.
This day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Aubrey didn't say anything about like, oh, happy solstice, everyone. So I fucking busted, Travis. I gotcha.
I thought it was really cute that Duck had this whole, like, he has friends. He has, like, he has people to chill with in the holidays.
Yeah.
I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it's kind of unexpected. And that's, I think, my fascination with Duck is that I keep thinking I know his character, but then we learn a little bit more about him, and I'm like, surprised. And I don't know why I'm so surprised, but it's like, I characterize Duck as, in my head, as this, like, loner burnout kind of guy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Like, he seems lonely too because of like when he was describing his sad apartment where he lives alone.
Yeah, or
but yeah, it seems like he's got some local boys that he chills with.
Yeah, which I think is charming.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it drives home the whole like homeboy, homegrown hero kind of, you know.
Yeah,
kinda
yeah,
vibe.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I also like this, like, unlikely friendship that's brewing between Aubrey and Jake Cool-Ice, because when they first met, she was like, I don't like that guy. I don't know if you remember,
yeah,
like, how strongly Travis manufactured this, like, that guy sucks,
yeah,
kind of reaction. But now she's, like, asking him to teach her to snowboard,
yeah, yeah,
and, like, wants to take him along as the snow expert, and I think that's really funny.
Yeah. I wrote down here that I thought it would be really cute if they could do, like, all these different chapters with different NPCs. Like,
yeah,
we've seen a lot of Barclay, but, like, even with the Lunar Interlude, it was pretty Jake Cool-Ice reliant. So I think,
mm-hmm,
it makes sense, especially because it's ice, you know? It's snowy.
Yeah.
It's got ice in his name.
I also forget that Jake isn't human.
Yeah.
A lot. And it's weird because, like, that gang he used to run with, they were human, right?
Yeah.
So he was, like, in a gang with all these humans, but he's not human.
Yeah.
I guess it's not that weird. I wonder how much the people at Amnesty, like, socialize with people in town regularly.
I think because they're stuck in that town for, like, ever. They can never go back home. And
yeah,
they have those accessories that make them seem more human.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, he seems like, even though they joke that he's, like, 45, I think he's still, like, a relatively young guy just because of the way that he seems so green about
He's at least
things.
Young at heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In my head, he looks like Jack Frost, like from that one movie that got really popular on Tumblr.
Guardians of Gahool. Nope, that's the Owl movie. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Something like that. The Winter
no.
Guardians?
I don't know. It's like the, yeah, Last of the Guardians.
Is that what it is?
I believe so. Anyway, I always wanted to see it, but never saw it.
Yeah, I never saw it either, but I know the characters super well. Thanks, Tumblr.
I think I picture him more like a Shaggy. Like, if you took Shaggy and put him in snowboarder gear.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's kind of what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
Did you want to say anything about the, like, crash site investigation? Well, one thing I wanted to say was that, like, I can't believe it was the bottle under the pedal that did him in. Because, like, in my mind, like, the water bottle getting stuck under the pedal.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, that's something that, like, my mom is paranoid about, yeah. But which would actually never happen. But, like, is that, like, a real thing? Does that actually, like, get people in trouble?
Well, because, so Gatorade bottles are, like, it's a harder PETG plastic.
I guess that's true. So I guess
maybe. But they also said that it was crushed. So if it was crushed, doesn't that mean that the brake pedal worked?
Yeah, that's what I guess it, like, crushed the bottle, but it couldn't get all the way to stop, maybe?
I guess
so. Like, you couldn't get it all the way down because it was blocked by the bottle. I don't know, but I'm listening to this going, like, holy shit, was my mom right all along? Is this, like, a real thing?
Yeah.
It's, like, a weird, like, it's like Griffin is delivering this weird cautionary tale or something. But maybe this
is Gatorade in your car.
Maybe this is actually, like, a common cause of car accidents, and I just have taken it for granted.
You know, I guess maybe. But like, at the same time, it's still, I don't know. Like, I know Ned's a car expert, apparently.
Except he just undid that, like, which was very in character. But now it's like, well, way to, like, take that power away from you for any future car-related incidents.
Yeah. But, like, it still seems fishy to me. Because, like, the equipment was missing, but also could have been that they were cleaning up the crash site, like, when they picked up the body, maybe
it's really
they picked
weird,
up the tools.
Yeah.
But then there were also, like, pockmarks on the ground, and there was also that sudden snowstorm. Like,
it kind of seems like whatever monster is causing the snow appeared while he was driving.
Yeah.
Then he crashed by accident, and then the whatever monster or whatever stole his tools.
Maybe. But also,
like, that seems like weird, but that's kind of what it seems like,
yeah.
Unless it really is like the Gatorade bottle is a red herring. Also, what's so funny is that, like, my aunt had an old boyfriend that they called, but, like, my parents called Danimal.
No.
And, like, it's really funny hearing somebody else get called that. I don't know. In my mind, I was like, I guess it makes sense that other people would have invented that nickname for someone named Dan, but, like,
I was thinking of the yogurt. Like, the
Danimal's drinkable yogurt?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm such a fool. I never even connected that.
Well, so it's, like, the bougie yogurt that the rich kids would get to eat. So the only reason I know about it is because I was stuck with Go-Gurt.
Oh, man, is
playground.
That true? Was Danimals, like, the upper-class Go-Gurt?
Well, they...
Or was, like, Go-Gurt, like, the poor man's Danimals?
I don't actually know. I just know that Go-Gurt was sold at Costco, so that's what we had in my house.
I think I drank, ate a fair amount of both. Probably more Go-Gurt. I think I... Did you used to put the Go-Gurt in the freezer?
Hell yeah.
So it turned into...
That's the number one way to eat them. And then you cut the side of your mouth on it because the plastic is a little sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh, man. Memories.
Shared experiences.
I liked the music in this episode also. I liked the commercial transition music.
Yes.
Yeah, and I liked the spooky music that played when the spooky man appeared.
At the very end?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so... Theories about the spooky man.
Yes, let's talk about the spooky man.
Do you want to go first?
It's not a Yeti, I don't think.
Because I don't think it's a Yeti.
So sorry, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Maybe no Yetis this time.
Is
it a Krampus, though?
Maybe. I think Krampuses are tall, and I guess maybe they could be holding things, because aren't, like, Krampuses just evil Santa? I actually don't know.
Yeah, dude, the clues add up. Hooves... Tall, scary
Did
man.
Did they say hooves? Did they say there were
with
hooves?
With bags. I'm pretty sure Griffin referred to hoof prints being in the snow. Maybe I have manufactured this memory.
Maybe.
But I listened to this hours ago, so I don't think so.
He said there were pockmarks.
I'm not talking about the pockmarks, though. Okay. Also, like, this was later. Hooves. I'm pretty sure there's something about hooves, but maybe I made this up. I thought there was, like, a hoof print thing.
Because my other thought is that maybe it's just 20 gremlins in a trench coat.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I actually...
That's their little feet.
I guess... Oh, the little pockmarks? It's possible. Tiny, tiny creatures with tiny feet. Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what to make of that. I don't think we have enough clues to make any guesses about the pockmarks, yeah, unless I'm just being stupid and bad at mysteries. It's weird because if this is... Okay, first of all, I want to point out, it's interesting that the tree tending supplies were stolen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's just like they were tools and they were stolen for some general purpose, mm-hmm, or were they stolen specifically because they are tree tending. Fucking, and then he's going to go cut down a Christmas tree. It's definitely Krampus. There's definitely some kind of like creepy Santa mystery afoot.
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of kidding.
Only kind of, though. Like, there's at least 30%.
Yeah, or am I?
Yeah, there's at least 30% of you that's like, yeah, this is totally fucking true.
If this is the monster, if this is the monster, it doesn't feel like the other monsters.
Nope.
Because the other monsters were not man-shaped. They don't seem to have been sentient, so they weren't, like, wearing clothes,
yeah,
or carrying things.
Yeah.
There's definitely... So, it has me at the point where I'm like, is this not the monster? Is this something else?
Maybe.
Oh my God, I just realized something also.
Oh, what?
Well, let's get to that in a second.
Oh.
So.
Well, I was going to say, do you think that the voice on the phone has anything to do with the monster? Or do you think it has more something to do with Beacon and the mystery surrounding whatever the hell non-Sylvain magic Beacon has going on?
I don't know, but I just realized that, like, so Mr. Tarkesian and some other people are about to die,
yeah,
in, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it because a meteor is going to hit the grocery store or whatever?
Oh, shit, maybe. But then, how was the person on the phone, how do they know about
that? I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
They would know.
Because they can see in the sky that there's a meteor coming?
Well, it's like this. It's like if Duck has psychic powers,
mm-hmm,
has premonitions...
Mm-hmm.
And he can tap in. He somehow has seen that a meteor is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever would allow him to do that, that information must exist somehow. So, I mean, it's possible that someone else also knows, saw something similar, or maybe something better because they're better at seeing the future. I don't know.
Maybe.
Or they just have, maybe they just like, yeah, maybe they just see it happening, like you said.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, yeah.
Maybe it's another person that... lives in the amnesty that we haven't met yet and who's like trying to help them.
Oh, it could be.
Optimistically,
yeah,
speaking, maybe.
One thing I will say is that the creepy man, the voice does not match my initial impression of the creepy man, who I do want to say that, like, Griffin did a really good job describing that scene, because, like, the kind of, like, when it, like, looks at them as they're driving by. Like, I got a pretty good, like, horror mental image,
yeah,
of that, like, horror movie style. It was kind of creepy.
It was super creepy.
Yeah, it's hard to make stuff... It's like, this is a medium where it's difficult to make something sound creepy like that. And, like, I think Griffin did a good job. That was, like, I got, like, a chill.
Yeah. Especially considering that it's, like, the middle of August. But I could,
yeah,
like, really clearly picture,
yeah, yeah,
this Christmas scene.
Yeah, so that was creepy, and I liked it, and I don't know. I don't know if it's connected to the voice. But yeah, this must be, I'm just realizing that this must be Griffin's hard move based on the premonition, right?
Maybe.
Is that a meteor is going to fucking destroy the general store?
Okay, spoiler warning, I've seen Your Name or Kimi no Nawa. That
I haven't, so do not say anything else about it.
Oh, okay. I've also seen the Land Before Time.
Nope.
Land Before Time.
I don't want to hear it. Okay, that's fine.
I mean, dinosaurs. So the last, like, meteors don't just kill 3 people. They usually kill, like, a lot more.
Well, if they're big enough, this might be, like, meteors fall all the time, and they, like, hit stuff. Well, maybe they're meteorites, or meteorites. I don't remember, but, like, there is still stuff actively hitting the planet on occasion.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think the thing coming from space coming to Kepler to only land on Mr. Tarkesian's door and hurt nobody else. That's wild. That's too wild. And
it's like, it's only wild because we saw it coming, right? I mean, like, I'm pretty sure, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is a thing that happens, like, meteors hit people's houses.
All right. If that's what ends up happening, I don't know, I'll buy you a shot or something. Because that is just so out of, like, literally out of the sky.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it is kind of, yeah, it's kind of weird, and I wonder, it's like, if Griffin had to come up with something bad to happen, like, in the middle of the episode, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of wonder if, when he's coming up with these, like, chapters, if, because he knows that Duck has to do a role, so, you know, I figure he has something in the back of his mind of, if Duck fucks this up, what kind of thing related to the monster or related to the scenario can I do that would prompt him, like, that would be a hard move in that situation, you know? Like,
yeah,
for the water thing, pretty sure he also either had a mixed success or a hard move.
Yeah.
And the hard move, actually, did the hard move manifest itself when they were at Amnesty Lodge and he got, like, concussed? Or
I think so.
Okay. Or was it at the water park when he got drowned?
I thought he got concussed at the water park.
He might have been both. It could have been both.
Maybe.
To be really fair, the end of the last chapter was like a month and a half ago. So my recall of it is a little bit fuzzy.
Okay, I want to read some stuff from space.com about meteors. Most meteorites are found on the ground weigh less than a pound. While it may seem like these tiny pieces of rock wouldn't do much damage, a one-pound meteorite traveling upward of 200 miles per hour can fall through the roof of a house or shadow a car windshield. When the Grimsby meteorite landed in Ontario, Canada in 2009, for example, it broke the windshield of an SUV. Then a little later on it says, what causes the most damage, this is a quote, is the shockwave produced by the meteor when it breaks apart in Earth's atmosphere, Cook said. So you don't have to watch for the falling rocks, you have to worry about the shockwave. For example, the Chelyabinsk meteor, an asteroid the size of a six-story building that entered Earth's atmosphere in February 2013 over Russia, broke apart 15 miles above the ground and generated a shockwave equivalent to a 500 kiloton explosion, Cook said. It injured 1,600 people. So it seems, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm imagining a meteor that is in the right size category to smash into a building and wreck some people in it.
All right.
And then maybe knock down some stuff nearby.
And okay, so if it's a meteor and the person on the phone, well, no, I'll.
I hope I'm not way off base here, and we've been talking about meteors for no reason.
No, I think that holds water. But let's say it is a meteor, then who's on the phone?
Okay, that's probably the more important question, and I have no idea.
Okay, all right.
It's a new mystery person,
right? You don't recognize the voice, right? I don't think so,
because the thing, like, Griffin can only do voices so well. Not, like, to knock Griffin's ability to do this, because he's very good at it, but I think, like, just going on precedent and what I think is reasonable, I think if it was a voice that any of the characters recognize, he would say to them, you recognize this voice as the voice of person. And he didn't say that. He just described the character of the, like, the quality of the voice, which makes me think it's someone unfamiliar.
Mm. Or maybe he thought that his voice was so distinctive that
as possible.
No, I think the way that they talked and the way, like, the candor that they had with the characters was meant to be more like condescending in a way that,
yeah, that's,
you know,
how I felt.
Yeah, I clearly know more than you. You should do something, otherwise these people are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe it's Istis. And she's like, A.
Cameo, crossover, it's happening.
Do you think...
I really liked...
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I just was going to say real quick that I thought it was the part where they were going to answer the phone was so cute, because it was like Duck and Aubrey, or... Yeah. God, suddenly, is it Aubrey or Audrey?
It's Aubrey. No. Yeah.
Duck and Aubrey going like, you get it. No, you get it. And then, like, Ned yelling, somebody get the phone. Yeah. It was like, they sounded so much like a family, which they are. Yeah. So that's why it was like, that's why they sounded that way. But it was also cute for their characters to sound like that.
Yes.
I really like that. I like Duck and Aubrey having kind of a, like, antagonistic, maybe not, like, sibling relationship, but, like, she's the annoying younger cousin or something, you know, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I do like that. No, I was gonna say something, I don't remember.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, I will remind you, you were starting to talk about Istis.
Oh, okay, yeah, thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome.
Justin mentioned that there are people in the fandom that really, really want Amnesty to, like, connect with Balance.
I know.
Is that a thing?
That does not surprise me at all.
Oh, okay.
Well, just because, like, I don't know. I think people fucking love crossovers.
Yeah, that's like, true.
They fucking love them.
It would be
I fucking love yeah. them. Yeah, it's what, like, yeah, it's like, and because of the way, like, the universe is constructed yeah. in Balance Arc, yeah. it seems like it would be, like, it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to include other
universes,
other fiction, yeah, other universes yeah. as like part of a greater canon.
Yeah,
it does feel like kind of fan servicey if they were to do that. I mean, it depends if it's like something that Griffin had planned all along. Yeah. Then like maybe like okay, I'll accept that. But like I doubt that they have. I think they have more self respect than to just do that because people think it would be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they did do that, I think. I mean, like if they had some plan to do that in, like, a cool, interesting way, that would be neat. But, yeah, I think, like, people really like Balance and want more of it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's also a way to, like, sneak it back in as if there's crossover.
That's true. But they also get live shows.
Yeah. That's true, too.
Yeah. I think that's the end of my list, I think.
Me, too. But then one idea I was just thinking is, like, can't wait for the end of Amnesty where there's some kind of other bond engine type mechanic and then Duck summons Taco and Aubrey summons Magnus and they all kind of like just get in there.
Yeah.
Get those good crossover cameos yeah. in.
Ned summons Merle and he's just like, yeah. Who's this fucker? And it's a whole thing. You know, I think, okay, going back to something you said like 20 minutes ago, I think they must have said hooves because I wrote down Mr. Tumnus. Because Mr. Tumnus lives in the woods and it's snowy, and he's got hooves, so maybe it's Mr. Tumnus.
Oh, fuck.
All right. Rach, yeah, where can people find us?
Well, if people want to get hold of us, they can send us an email at taztalkpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on Tumblr at taztalk.tumblr.com.
Neat, neat. Or if you wanted to tweet at us, you can find us on Twitter. We are at taztalkpodcast.
All right, cool. So 2 weeks till the next episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get some of our questions answered, but you know, we normally just get more questions.
You know, I hope so. Aubrey is supposed to go to Sylvain in the next episode.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see about that.
I know it sounds like we're complaining, but I love all the mysteries and I love speculating about them.
I do. So it's fun.
Thanks, McElroy's. Thanks, Griffin.
They're giving us content to talk about on a biweekly basis and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah. Okay, everyone, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.